Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
I have this thing where I think that water bottles... This is very disgusting. I just like think that water bottles never have to be washed because I'm like, you wash things with water. So why would you just add more water to it? Forgetting that like soap is also part of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
So about like every week and a half, this is such a TMI for our listeners. I will notice that my water bottle, my Hydro Flask has like grime along the mouthpiece. But shoot, we're recording, so I'm going to keep drinking out of it. Woo! Let's get into this episode.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Recovering Glee. Hey, all you people. Won't you listen to me?
Where's that from?
I just had a podcast. It's no ordinary podcast. It's a podcast about Glee Project on TV.
What's that from?
It's from SpongeBob.
Oh, it's from SpongeBob.
Yeah. Welcome to our penultimate episode about the Glee Project. We're talking about season two. We're talking about the episodes 8 and 9, Tenacity and Romanticality.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to watch these episodes along with us, I heard a rumor that they're on the internet somewhere. What? I don't know who told me that.
I don't know.
I heard through the grapevine, I cannot confirm nor deny that you can find them on our podcast Discord under the general tab under pinned comments.
I super can't confirm that. Can't.
Also, that they're on r/recoveringgleek. I can't confirm nor deny any of that. But what I can confirm and not deny is that my name is Ian Allred and I am a recovering gleek.
My name is Lena Knatzer and I'm a recovering gleek, and I think my microphone's being weird. Can we take a moment?
Heck yeah, we can. Everyone, go take a moment. Hi, everyone. We're back from our moment. Did everyone have a good moment? How was your moment? What did you do? Answer now. That's so cool. That's really great. I'm happy that you did that. Good for you.
Let me reintroduce myself so you can hear me this time. My name is Lena Knatzer and I am a gleek. Oh my gosh.
Before we get into the Glee Project Season 2, Lena and I have an update on the Glee Project Season 1, which is that the Glee Project Season 1's own Lindsay Pierce is currently playing Elphaba on Broadway in Wicked, and mm-hmm. Lena and I went and saw it last Wednesday. Oh,
you guys, I can't even tell you how amazing Lindsay Pierce is. She made my whole face melted off. I had to put it back on. Literally, she is so amazing, so awesome. Can you fully believe? I feel like we know her.
I have the same problem where I was sitting in the audience and I was like,
that's my friend.
And it's like,
I know. We were sitting in front of this this girl.
We were sitting behind a friend of the podcast. Did you see that?
No.
That girl that was sitting in front of us that we had a full conversation with then commented on our TikTok and said, oh my gosh, I was the one you're talking to during the show. I didn't recognize your voices. I'm so embarrassed. Let me see. I'll find your name. Anyways, continue what you were saying though.
We were sitting... I don't even know how to carry on from that. She knew who we were. Oh my gosh.
I don't know if she was like a full podcast listener or if she follows us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we were sitting behind her. Go ahead.
Her name is Hadas. So Hadas, if you're listening.
She was just talking about how she knew Lindsay Pierce from the Glee Project. And I was like holding myself back from being like, well, I host a podcast about Glee. But I did say something weird.
I was like, don't be that asshole who brings up your podcast right now.
But But I did say something that was maybe weirder and more cryptic, where I was like, we kind of like half know her, like she half knows that we exist. Well, I mean, it is something to note that like she did respond to us and we did freak out.
Is your mic still connected? Are we going to have to stop again? I'll stop recording. Okay, full disclosure, listeners.
LPC's having a whole night.
Lena's mic just fell to the ground.
So I can't wait for you to listen to that and just hear how awful that sounded.
So we had to do some reconfigurating. We're back. So it's fixed. We should be fine now. Talking about Lindsay Pearson Wicked, she was incredible. Honestly, the whole production was amazing. I have seen a few shows on Broadway that have been running for a long time. And some of them have not even been running for as long as Wicked's been running.
Yeah.
And almost every single time I will see the show and I'll be like, that's like a good show, but I can tell that that production is tired. Like, I can tell that the people in the show are like a little over it. They're kind of phoning it in. They've done this show so many times. Wicked is still so fresh. Yeah. What's that about?
I know. I was so prepared to like sit down and remember how much I loved Wicked and just have that like in my head and then walk away being like, oh yeah, it was beautiful when I was a kid and now it's weird. Mm-hmm. But oh my God, it was as amazing, if not more amazing, like when I saw it the other day. And maybe I was just reminded of how much I loved it, but fuck, Wicked is that bitch. And I'm like, there's a reason the show is still running. There's a reason the show is still like selling as many tickets as it does. It's so good. And you can tell everyone there is like just so grateful to be telling this story. Oh, I'm obsessed. I love Wicked.
It was absolutely amazing. Obviously, Brittany Pierce, Glee Project Glee alum, is Elphaba. She was amazing. What did I say, Brittany? Yeah. It's because I literally read the name Brittany on my computer. Thank you. Lindsay Pierce is Elphaba. She was amazing. But also the Glinda we saw, Amanda Jane Cooper, was
so good.
Amazing and is also a Glee alum.
Literally. And I think that's what started us talking to the woman in front of us. Because I was like, oh my God, Amanda Jane Cooper was in Glee too, because it says so in her bio. Mm-hmm. And she turned around and she's like, what? Really? So we had to look it up. Oh my gosh, we're going to see her so soon.
Yeah, spoiler alert, she's in the season premiere of season 4. So everyone buckle up. But it was a great time. Up. Lindsay Pierce is amazing. Amanda Jane Cooper was amazing. Everyone was amazing. Wicked is still fresh, everyone. It hasn't gotten tired yet.
It was so funny. I'm like, I knew all of those jokes before. I've seen like 3 million bootlegs of that show and I've seen it live before and I still like laughed my ass off. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Oh, Wicked, I love you. And I was like, I was just sitting there the whole time. I was like, I have to do this. I have to be in this show. I have to do theater forever. Oh, so good.
I mean, Lindsay Pierce manifested it.
I know.
She was singing Defying Gravity in 2011 on the Glee Project.
I know.
And here she is singing at 8 shows a week on the Broadway.
The Broadway.
Also,
yes, I got you.
We will move on. But Lena and I were talking about it. It was, you know, Elphaba is a notoriously hard vocal role. Mm-hmm. And I have seen women sing it and absolutely kill it. But you can hear in their voice that like they are really like they're putting a lot of muscle into it. Like you can hear the difficulty of the songs and it's no knock to them. It's still incredible. But like you can hear how difficult the song is. Lindsay was singing those songs with such ease. What was going on?
I know.
It was mind blowing.
Offensive. Like she started singing Wizard and I with like such clarity and ease. I was like, who the hell is this? And then when it got to like No Good Deed, like the vocal like journey she had went on, I was like, Everything she did was so amazing, so beautiful. There's this part. Are you going to talk about the opt up that she did?
I am.
Oh.
So we were seeing Wicked for Lena's roommate's birthday, and we had like tagged Lindsay Pierce in our story earlier that day, and then she had responded and just like sent us little heart. Mm-hmm. And so I kept joking to Lena's roommate. I was like, I'm going to message Lindsay Pierce and tell her to do an opt up and no good deed for your birthday. Completely a joke. And then mm-hmm. during No Good Deed, she fully did an opt up. And I just leaned over and whispered, happy birthday. And then after the show,
it was so funny.
After the show, I messaged her just on a whim and said, I told my friend as a joke that you're going to do an option up on No Good Deed for his birthday. And then you ended up doing it. So thank you. And she responded and said, my absolute pleasure.
I'm in love with her. She is so awesome. She's so nice. Like the fact that she even responded, I was like, mm-hmm. she is way too nice to us. Made me feel very special. Made me feel very connected to her as well. I was like, that's my friend up there.
Yeah.
God, she was so amazing.
Well, everyone, I know it is very elitist in the sense that you have to be in a specific city and also tickets mm-hmm. tend to be very expensive. But if you are able, go see Wicked. It's still great.
It is. I love my green girls.
Yeah.
Are you ready to talk about the Glee Project?
I'm absolutely ready to talk about the Glee Project.
Yeah. Do you have some Glee Project facts for me?
I do. First episode we're talking about is Tenacity. It aired on July 24th, 2012, Pioneer Day.
24th of July.
Yeah.
Dude, does anyone even know what Pioneer Day even is?
No one outside of Utah, because I had not even really heard of it until I went to college. It was so bizarre to me when I moved to Utah for college, and it was literally like a bigger celebration than Independence Day. And I was like, what's going on?
I know. I have always thought that like July was like the month of two parades. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
July 24th, 2012, Pioneer Day, also Tenacity Day.
Mm-hmm.
For the homework assignment this week, they sang Survivor by Destiny's Child. The guest mentor was Glee's own Amber Riley. And the winner of that homework assignment was Ali Stroker. For the music video, they sang Eye of the Tiger by Survivor. A real Survivor theme this week.
Totally. And then Jeff Probst came in and judged the competition.
Jeff Probst was the guest, like, did a cameo in the music video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was so cool.
He said, you're going to do a bottom three performance, and in this game, bottom three represents your life. And then he made them sing.
And then, like, they brought fire out on stage, and then Jeff, like, snuffed the fire. It was really crazy.
Yeah, and then the mentors were like, weirdly, we're actually going to have the contestants vote out who goes home. We're not going to do it ourselves.
Like, you're going to decide who goes on Glee.
Yeah.
Honestly, shoot. That would be fun.
So the bottom three this week were Michael, he sang Brick by the Ben Folds Five, Abraham, who sang Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson, and Lily, who sang Greatest Star of All from Funny Girl. And Abraham was not called back.
Mm.
Ready to get into the nitty gritty of Tenacity Week? What is your just like primary thought about this week?
Gosh, this week is crazy. I do feel just a little different about this week than I did last season's Tenacity. Mm-hmm. I think because obviously the challenge of doing like a music video like this in one shot that is very physically taxing is just difficult inherently.
Yeah.
It's not like they're being like singled out and made to do things they like can't do. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, and I don't agree, but keep going.
Okay, tell me about it. But I don't know. It's just like, they're not literally like singling a person out.
I do agree. Do you know what I mean? Yes.
That's just how I felt about it. Tell me how you disagree. I'd love to hear about it.
Again, I think the Tenacity theme is essentially like, we're training you to put up with a toxic work environment and you have to learn that you should not stand up for yourself.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
The conceit of the music video this week, when they do Survivor, Eye of the Tiger by Survivor, and Jeff Probst shows up and he snuffs someone's torch, is, yeah, like Lena said, the idea is that they're going to do the whole music video in one take, which I agree. I think is like absolutely something that happens in media all the time. I think it's something that's very likely could happen on Glee. I think it, like, it's a good challenge to be like, okay, you can't mess this up. And if you do mess it up, you have to keep going because we need to do it in one take. But what they're doing for this one take music video feels to me like they are purposely setting it up for these kids to fail. So the idea is they're in the high school gym, they're singing Eye of the Tiger, and they're all doing like different exercises in the gym. And the stuff they have them doing is like, there's Eileen has to jump over three hurdles. Mm-hmm. Blake has to, like, I don't know what the little machine is called.
The wheelbarrow, yeah.
Yeah, but he has to do a wheelbarrow where he's like holding a little wheel between his hands. Someone has his feet and he has to activate his core and be pushed. And then like Lily has to throw a softball. Allie has to hit the softball with a bat. And then the thing that like really is really like they're setting these kids up to fail is at the end of the shot, Allie has to take a basketball, throw it behind her head and have her get it in the net.
Yeah.
These are theater kids. These are not kids who like play baseball. Like Allie is not out here shooting baskets on the regular. So they're purposely setting her up to fail and setting her up to feel guilty when she does something that she is not capable of and has never pretended to be capable of, and then messes up the shot. And obviously, I think these kids really handle it well in the way that they don't get mad at each other. But every time they have to start the shot over, everyone is like, oh my gosh. And then you see that it makes Allie have a breakdown. She starts hysterically crying because she feels so guilty that she's made, like, freaking Blake is probably so sore. Eileen is like jumping 2 feet in the air and running. Like these kids, freaking Abraham Foley twists his ankle. Like
he takes the spill of a fucking century.
Yeah. Like, I just think it was a very unsafe thing for them to do. Mm-hmm, I think it's irresponsible to have this be the one-shot video when none of these kids are athletes. I mean, like, some of them are more athletic, but they're not athletes. If you're going to do a one-take music video, have it be, like, stuff with choreography. Don't have it be, like, you have to hit a softball with a bat, which is not something you've ever done before.
No, totally. Even, like, the double dutch thing, I have never in my life, and I was a schoolgirl, ever done double dutch successfully, ever. Mm-hmm. And these kids, like, just have to do it and do double dutch with two different people. I have never in my life seen anyone do that. You know what I mean? Double dutch is hard. Yeah. And then like they finally get to the point where they do one jump rope and they finally are successful at it. I also, like, as a person who has been like recently injured on the job at work, I feel very like Abraham takes the spill of a century, like I said, and they are like, they are so mean to him about it.
They like fault him for it.
Seriously. And Eileen, I don't think Eileen saw the way he felt because she says some things that are like pretty fucked up. She's like, well, if, she just says that he's playing up his ankle, which I was like, I don't know. Like he really like slammed into that wall and took a huge spill. So I don't know about that. And I was also like, the man now is like jumping rope with one foot. Like, give him a break. And when I was injured at work this summer, I was treated with so much respect from the team. Like, I was never made to feel like it was my fault. I was never made to feel like I was bad or wrong for sitting out of the show when I was injured. And they even, when they're talking to Amber Riley in the beginning, Robert Ulrich says she's actually got two stress fractures in her feet because of how hard she dances, and that's so tenacious. And like, that's awesome, Amber Riley. I'm really glad that you are like so tenacious, but I also feel like shame for you that you are in this work environment that injures you and you have to dance on fractured feet. Like, that's not a fun thing. That's not a good thing. That could like cause permanent damage.
Yeah.
And like, I had so many people this summer, not to like talk about my foot injury, but it really was a traumatic experience. But so many people like sat me down and were like, your career longevity is more important about like this moment. And while we're not maybe seeing, you know, talks of longevity in this like full 12-hour day that they have, it's also just like, you, like you said, it's setting them up to like think that they can endure abuse and endure injuries at work and, you know, cause more problems later, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, I'm so glad you brought that up, because the way that it's lauded as like a medal of honor that Amber Riley has done like lasting damage to her feet, which I don't think is her fault. I think it's just the environment.
Oh my gosh.
They're just setting these kids up to be like, you just keep going. Like, the show must go on. It's gross. And then, like, Abraham Foley twists his ankle. There's no talk of, oh, he twisted his ankle, maybe we should take him out of the jumping section. It's no, you have to keep jumping. Just do it on one foot. Yeah. And then he ends up in the bottom three. And they keep talking about how he had like an off week. And then Abraham keeps saying like, I know there's no excuses for like how I did this week. I was at home like, yes, there is an excuse. You twisted your ankle.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that you were a little behind on running around the gym and you were a little in your head makes perfect sense, because you got injured and you were not given the care to take care of your injury.
I know. And it's so terrible, because it's also like, if I were to twist my ankle in a audition, I probably would just be cut, you know? And that's just the reality of like doing a competition like this. Like, they just don't have time. I don't know. Cause like, what would I have done in that situation? Like, take myself out of the music video, like be able to sit for a minute? I don't even know. And I don't know how long they were at this. Oh my gosh. I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah. I just think, because it is, you know, like you say, it is a complicated issue in the fact that like this whole process is an audition process. Mm-hmm. And so it is kind of like only one of you is going to make it anyway. But I just feel like this music video was set up so purposely to make these kids fail that it is upsetting to me. I just think that like the powers that be should be trying to bring out the best in their performers instead of like putting them through abuse. We got like freaking Shanna throwing up in the trash can. We got Lily panicking because she has to do a quick change and she can't get her pants off in time because they get caught.
They don't even have breakaway pants at all for these kids.
But like, her, you can, because you know, I've had that before where like I have a quick change and I'm stressed that I'm not going to make it. Like, it's a stressful situation. But you can see with the level of panic that she feels that in her mind, she is like, I am going to piss off every other person here if I make us redo this whole shot because I couldn't get my pants off in time.
Yeah. Like, absolutely.
They're just putting them all in a very toxic headspace where none of them really feel safe. None of them feel like they can ask for help. They all are just like, you have to do this perfectly. And if you mess up, the other six contestants are going to be mad at you.
Totally.
I really don't like it.
But luckily, like you said, I don't get the vibe. I mean, I do get that sense from Eileen with Abraham just a little bit, but like, no one is getting mad at Allie. Yeah. They're asking her to throw a basket over her fucking shoulder. Mm-hmm. I would never be able to do that at all. You know, no one's like getting like outwardly pissed at other people for not getting it, which I was very proud of them for, you know,
I think they're all the last very, very want. Supportive of each other. Honestly,
yeah, totally.
For the most part, this cast, they seem to get along very, very well.
Yeah.
And that is nice.
I know. I like that. Even when they, we have the drama this episode with Eileen and with Lily, where Lily sings very loudly and Eileen like makes a comment to her. So that's like truly the biggest drama I think we've had so far between them. But even still, I get the vibe that they get along for the most part, you know?
Yeah. Which also, that moment was so relatable to me. So everyone is in, they're doing their recording for Eye of the Tiger, their little solo stuff. And then there's sections that they are supposed to sing as a group. And so Nikki has all the contestants go into the booth as a group to sing together. And Lily keeps drowning out everyone's voices. And Nikki keeps being like, I'm hearing a lot of Lily. You need to pull back. And Lily has a talking head about how she was getting really in her head and really self-conscious because she is insecure of how overpowering her voice is. And then for Eileen to then like tease her about it made it worse. And wow, I have never related to someone so much.
And it's a skill that you got to learn, you know? Mm-hmm. It's a skill that takes some time. And even Lily says that. She's like, I've been working on it. I'm trying. But it's just like, it's also like that part is a huge belt. So of course she's not blending. It's a huge belt for her. Like, I don't know. They're asking her to do the impossible, like belt during that or like be quiet during that. I don't know. It's just a lot.
Also, speaking of the vocal booth moment, I am obsessed with this new Glee Project character we have, which is Ryan Peterson, Nikki's little assistant, who never speaks unless he's just agreeing with what Nikki said.
Yeah. Or he's like making some sort of comment like, it shouldn't be that hard. Like, who are you to be so mean?
I just love it. It is literally, which like, I understand it's because Nikki is the mentor. So that's why they really edit it to only show her. Mm-hmm. But it's so funny because he is just like, it's like she's the popular girl in a Disney Channel TV show. And then he's like her other friend who stands behind her and is like, you tell him, Nikki. Absolutely.
Honestly, we love that character. We always need that character. He's funny.
A real Amber to her Ashley.
She was, again, a huge bitch in the booth. She has to be. She always is. Someone asks, was it pitchy? And she goes, yep. Like, she's so mean. I love her, but I hate her sometimes, you know?
Yeah. All right.
Who
real quick.
Say that to? I don't remember. I'll never
remember. Let's talk. It's probably Abraham. Because I know Abraham has one note that he keeps trying to sing over and over.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the homework assignment, Survivor by Destiny's Child. I frankly don't have a lot to say. I thought it was great. That's kind of all I have to say.
I found myself getting very misty while watching it. And I think that's just because I love that song.
Mm-hmm.
And Allie does especially a great job. She's like dancing and like, you know, throwing her arms out. And I was like, I felt that, you know what I mean? So I found myself getting emotional, but I don't have anything other than it was great to say. So,
Well, dang, Survivor, Destiny's Child.
Mm-hmm. Jeff Probst.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
All right. Do you have... Truly, all of my notes are about how I'm like, this music video makes me uncomfortable. These poor kids.
Well, let's go down the line. Tell me your notes.
Well, I've already said almost all of them, frankly.
Yeah, totally. The takes, they end up doing 34 takes of this, which I cannot even imagine doing that. I would certainly have thrown up. I would certainly have had a panic attack. I would certainly have. These kids handle it with a lot of grace, I feel like. Like, even, like, injuries happen. People are throwing up. People are crying. Like, they're all very supportive of each other. I especially love all of the, like, montages of them overcut with the sounds of them starting, like, in the back, like, hyping each other up. They're like, we can do it. Let's go. It's very fun. I get very excited about it. I can't even imagine being Allie in that situation. Because throwing a basketball like that feels like it's to chance at that moment.
Yes. Especially behind your head. Because then it's not even really aim. You are truly guessing.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know anyone who can just do that. That's not like, you know, good at basketball, who like is an athlete, you know, and like Allie, to my knowledge, doesn't play basketball, you know, like it's just a big ask. So having her get very emotional and having like Shanna go up to her and mm-hmm. Blake go up to her, no one is angry with her. And like her talking heads are so sad where they're like, I just feel so bad. I don't know. It would probably be just like a very traumatic experience doing this. Can't even imagine. It's also like not the physical things they're doing are hard. Yeah. Like Michael has to like jump through a tire and like, you know, like you said, Eileen is like doing hurdles. Mm-hmm. Like what?
Let's
double dutch. I cannot get over the double dutch of it all.
I don't remember all of it, but let's just do mm-hmm. a walkthrough of all the things these kids have to do. So the music video starts out. They're all in tracksuits. Blake runs in. He sings his first line. He throws something to Michael, who catches it.
But before that, he's got to run up the whole bleachers. Oh, and they're not like short bleachers. They're the long bleachers. Like run all the way up the bleachers and then throw a basketball to Michael, who's got to catch it and then dive through like a tire.
Yeah. And then Michael dives through the tire and Eileen is in front of him. Eileen mm-hmm. starts singing and she has to run and jump mm-hmm. over three hurdles.
Before that, Abraham has to like run through a bunch of do quick feet through a bunch of tires.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And okay, then so Eileen that happens. Does that.
She does
and
the hurdles.
Then it cuts to Lily, who has to pitch a baseball mm-hmm. to Allie. And then it cuts to Blake and Shanna doing the wheelbarrow thing.
When Lena says cuts to, it means the camera moves.
Yeah.
These kids are having, there's no cuts.
That's the whole thing is there's no cuts. I'm saying the wrong thing here. So, and then it moves to Shanna and Blake. And then it goes to the jump rope of it all. And mm-hmm. the jump rope thing causes the most problems here. So before that, all four of the people involved in the jump rope have to have changed clothes. So they have to like take off the sweats over their like, you
basketball
know,
uniforms,
gym uniform. Yeah, yeah, totally. And it is Eileen and Lily doing the ropes. And then it's Michael and Abraham jumping mm-hmm. rope. And double dutch. I can't get over this. Like, of course they were struggling. Who the fuck knows how to double dutch? Not me.
I do.
Be like, hello, can we? You do?
I was in jump rope club in elementary school.
Dude, you're just like Corbin Blue. Teach me how.
The trick to double dutch is knowing when to enter. And once you mm-hmm. enter, you just alternate feet. But it is incredibly, like, it took me forever to learn. It's not something that you show up to set and can get down in 10 minutes for the shoot.
No. I have never successfully double dutched in my entire life. Oh my gosh, that's very cool. You've got a fun skill. You should put that on your resume.
I haven't done it in years, so honestly, I might not be able to do it anymore.
We'll see. We can do it. We can do it someday. But so the jump rope happens and then it ends and then it cuts to Allie who throws everyone who has.
First she does. So the double dutch ends. Camera pans to Allie. As it pans to Allie, all the other kids have to run out the off-camera door mm-hmm. so that they can run in the door behind Allie. While they're running, Allie has to wheel backwards around cones. So she does the whole like driving test drive around cones in her wheelchair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then she has to throw water bottles to all the other kids as they pass by.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it goes to the pyramid,
yes.
if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So they all have to make a pyramid on each other and then fall out of the pyramid on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Never in my life. And then have to roll off. And then that's when Allie has to throw the basketball. So that's like no small potatoes. It takes like 2.5 minutes. I think the whole song ends up being 2.5 minutes. And Michael even has this like talking head where he's like, 2.5 minutes doesn't seem like a long time, but when you've done it more than 30 times, like mm-hmm. it starts like adding up and they're like breathing hard. They're not doing well.
Well, it's awful. Yeah. It made me think of, like, I am not a dancer. I'm an actor who moves well, is what I tell people. And I have had to do dance combinations for auditions that I had to put on tape. So you have to, like, teach it to yourself and then do it on tape. Yeah. And those combinations are usually like 30 seconds to 45 seconds. And it's the same idea where it's like, it has to be one take. So if you mess something up, you have to start over. And I have had moments where I like started crying because I got so frustrated because I would get to like second 28 and then completely butcher the ending. And then I'd be like, oh my gosh, I have to start and do this all over again. And I would be so exhausted and so tired and so frustrated. So I cannot even imagine what 2.5 minutes would do having to like start all of that over again. Oh my gosh.
Absolutely.
The only things that production budges on is the double dutch ends up being so much that the kids can't do it. No surprise, they probably haven't double dutched before. So they take one of the ropes out and they make it a single jump rope. Yeah. And then Allie, at the very end, she cannot get it behind her head. Of course she can't.
Yeah.
It was like, it's just so annoying to me that they were asking that of her.
It's just a huge ask. Yeah, it's a huge ask.
Especially at the end of the music video. So it's like, you mess this up, you have to start again. And so she suggests to Eric, she's like, well, could the other kids pick up my wheelchair so I can just dunk it in? And then Eric is like, okay, let's do that. And so they end up doing that. And that's when they finally get the shot. Which also, I question if they did get the shot because it does cut.
I don't think they did.
Yeah, they do.
I don't think they did.
They do the 33rd take. They pick up Allie's wheelchair when you're watching the music video. They pick up Allie's wheelchair and then suddenly the camera cuts for the first time to a different angle and it shows her put the basketball in. So I wonder if finally the producers were like, okay, this is straight up abuse. We have to just get a different shot of this basketball.
Which makes me sad because that to me means they could have just cut any other time. You know, they could have like been like, oh, it's the 27th time she didn't make it. Let's cut to the ball going in the basket. And that's it. But they do it after all of this. And it's like, for what?
Yeah.
Why did we like make so many compromises in the end if like you're not even going to show the shots? You know what I mean? I don't know. It's like this could have ended 10 times ago. I feel so bad for these kids.
They do all that torture. Do you have any other thoughts about the music video?
I don't. But for people who aren't watching at home, Abraham ends up falling when he has to go through the doors to sprint to the other doors. So while Allie is like throwing the water bottles, he has to run from one set of doors to the other set of doors. This reminds me... Oh my gosh. Do you remember 42nd Street? Yes, of course
yes, I do.
Ian and I did 42nd Street together. And there's a song called Getting Out of Town. And then Ian, dumb bitch, he got cut out of because he had to make quick change.
I was not happy about getting cut out of that number.
But I was jealous of you because we had to run through the audience. I'm complaining here. I'm very happy that I got to do this show and it was very fun. But we had to run through the aisles of the audience and then out the lobby door and then run all the way around the theater to make it through the other lobby doors. And I remember one time our friend of the podcast, Nicole, ended up falling like during the song, during a performance. And she ended up just like rolling to the side and being like, you guys go on without me. Go ahead. Like a true soldier truly just fell down and then got the fuck out of the way. And I had a friend who was working like box office and she said that someone had to like jump over her because we had like 10 seconds to run all the way around the theater and you just had to like deal. And Nicole took it like a champ. She just like moved to the side and was like, go on. It's okay. It was so funny. Oh my gosh. That was so hard. I remember being like, this is too hard.
I remember the first time we did it. Because it was like everyone had to be on stage in place by like the final sentence of the song. And the first time we ran it before I got caught from the number, it was literally, there were like four people on stage for that last line and everyone else was still in the audience or still in the lobby trying to make it.
It was a big run. Like it was no small potatoes. And I was taking like those steps like two at a time, like because you had to. Who's talking about skimpy underwear? I have a note in here about skimpy underwear. What is that about?
I don't. Oh, is it Michael's jockstrap?
Oh, okay. I love those little like cutscenes they do of like a funny moment from the episode. And they're talking about the jock straps. And one of my favorite things on also, Earth.
Also, just really fast disclaimer. Michael's putting a jock strap on over his pants for the music
video. It's really B-roll. It's very
you
funny.
You do not see like his bare butt at the show.
No. But Allie ends up, okay, so all of the girls in there, one of my favorite things on Earth is when people ask questions about like inappropriate things very earnestly. Like that's one of my favorite things ever. And all these girls are sitting around being like, well, tell me about a jockstrap. Like, where does, and then Blake is explaining, like, where the cup goes and what it's for. And, like, if you're wearing football pants, then it has blah, 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 blah. And everyone is so interested in asking all of these, like, very inquisitive, like, earnest questions. And it is so cute. That's one of my favorite things ever. When people are, like, so comfortable around each other where they can be like, well, tell me about a tampon. You know what I mean? Like, that's my favorite thing ever. I love it. Oh, it's so cute.
And then I have the talking head of Allie where she's like, I understand a jock strap when you put a cup in it, but if you don't have a cup in it, isn't it just like skimpy underwear?
And it's like, Allie, I don't think they're wearing it just to wear underwear. She is so funny. I love her.
All right.
That's the cutscene.
You ready to go to bottom three?
I am.
So they really couldn't get over this double dutch thing, which is like frustrating to, I don't know. I'm just like, it was a big ask to give these kids.
And anyone who would have been in the double dutch scenario would have done the same thing. Yeah. I know it. You know what I mean? It's just a huge ask.
They kept getting mad because they weren't lip syncing, which I understand, but it's also like double dutching is hard. I don't think it's something they have done often, if ever. So they're trying so they're concentrating so hard on not messing up the ropes that like they're just forgetting to sing. So anyways, they keep the four double dutch kids back, which is Michael, Abraham, Lily, and Eileen. They keep the four of them back, and then ultimately they're like, okay, but Eileen, you did such a great job on the hurdles, you didn't knock them over one time in all 33 takes, so you are called back. They keep back Michael, Abraham, and Lily.
Yes.
First up, we got Michael. He's singing Brick by the Ben Folds Five.
Off the bat, this motherfucker is smiling, singing this song like he doesn't know what it's about. And that pisses me off. It just puts a bad taste in my mouth. Like, he is smiling like he's singing a pop song. And I'm like, hello, the Ben Folds did not write this song for you to smirk during it. It made me so mad. It made me angry. I was like, he should go home.
Frankly, I was convinced Michael was going home. And I actually think there's a specific moment that turned the tide to him not going home that we'll talk about when we get to it. But I don't have a strong, I don't know this song. So I didn't have that same reaction
you did.
Do you
know what it's about?
No, frankly, I wasn't super paying attention. I'm going to be honest.
Don't Google it. It's pretty sad.
Okay. But I was just like, yeah, Michael's doing a good enough job. That's literally my note is he does a pretty good job.
He does a pretty good job. He's a good singer.
Yeah. Next, we got Abraham singing Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson. Zach Woodley is beaming. He is so proud to see him. I mean, Abraham, which they have mentioned this before, Abraham can sometimes come off as kind of a kiss up in the sense that like he is just so adamant of like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be perfect. I'm going to be everything you want me to be.
Yes.
But then, so this, this week, he kind of falls back into that where he's like, I know I didn't do what I should have done this week. There are no excuses. And then he kind of says, like, I'm not using this as an excuse, but I hurt my ankle and that was like really distracting me. And then Ryan Murphy says, every time that you say you're not using something as an excuse, you're using it as an excuse, which, hear me out, I think is true. But also, like, the fact that he injured himself on that shoot is a good excuse. Like,
yeah.
I'm sorry, that's a good excuse for why his performance was lackluster.
Ryan is such a meanie head this week to everyone. Like, he is just very short with all of them and, like, doesn't really talk to Michael for very long. And then when he is, like, so mean to Abraham about this, I'm like, is this how you treat your actors on your show? Oh, wait, it is. We have proof that Amber Riley is dancing on stress fractures. Like, hello. He is such a meanie this week.
Then we got Lily singing Greatest Star of All from Funny Girl, and she kills it.
Yeah, it is. I love her. I am
and her even the
fan.
Mentors are like, she killed it.
Yeah. They're all like, I love when they're filming her from the back and you just see them like beaming and like throwing their arms up in the air. And they're like, she did that. Yes. Mm-hmm. They love her. I love her. Oh my gosh. It was so good.
The one thing I don't like about this little Lily scene, it's not a Lily thing, is something gets, I don't remember like how it gets brought up, but Eileen teasing Lily in the booth gets brought up. And Lily brings up that, like, Eileen was teasing her about this thing that she's very self-conscious about, and that, like, made her get in her head, whatever, whatever. And then Ryan is like, oh, so you and Eileen kind of have, like, a little, like, a little back and forth animosity thing going on. And then he says, and I quote, I love a good duel. Which just,
he
like,
sucks.
The things that you hear about the Glee set and like relationships between certain actors on the Glee set, that comment that Ryan says is so enlightening.
It's so telling.
Like, oh, you live for this kind of drama. Like, I would not be shocked that you are fully enabling it on your set because you love a good duel.
Totally. This is one of like Lily's best bottom three experiences. She, you know, isn't sobbing this time. Ryan Murphy is not making her cry. And he like loves her now because he learns that she has drama with someone. And it's like, what's your deal, Ryan Murphy? Why are you acting like this?
I mean, he made an entire show called Feud that the plan was for it to be an anthology about women who hated each other every season. Yeah. So
he loves when women hate each other.
No surprise, he loves to see women hate each other.
Eh.
That man is such a mystery because there's also an interview with him that I think is very, like, I think he makes very good points in the interview where someone asks him about, I mean, this is common knowledge. There was a lot of beef between Lea Michele and Naya Rivera on the Glee set, specifically in the later seasons. They butted heads a lot. And the interviewer specifically asks Ryan Murphy about that. And he says, he gives an answer that I actually think is a very good answer, where he says, like, you know, I just think they're both very young. They both got shot into superstardom, like from basic obscurity into superstardom at the same time when they were both very young. And so naturally, like, some drama is going to stem between that. What I find kind of telling and a little upsetting is that everyone only ever talks about those two young women and their drama, whereas there were plenty of men on the show who did not get along with each other, and no one ever talks about that.
Ah.
And I'm like, oh, wow, Ryan Murphy, that's like a very good observation. But then you have this when he's like, oh, Eileen and Lily don't like each other. I love a duel. But it's like, but then it feels like you're playing both sides of this argument.
You know, I don't really know. I wonder who on the show, what boys on the show didn't like each other. Do you know?
No. And it's not my business.
Fly on the wall. I wish I could be a fly on the wall for this show. Anyway, again, not our business. But I think I have an idea of what you're going to say of why Michael doesn't go home. So tell us why you think Michael doesn't go home.
So the bottom three performs whatever. Then the mentors start deliberating. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know what inspired this.
Yeah.
Abraham just out of nowhere marches back on stage. In his mind, he clearly was like, this is me showing that I am tenacious, that like I will get what I want and I will get what I'm going for. Abraham marches onto the stage, like really tries to take charge of the situation and says like, I know I'm good enough to be here. I know I can be on Glee and I am not leaving until you write me a part on Glee.
Yeah.
And
it is very off-putting, frankly.
It goes over like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
It is really uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah. It makes me so sad because I wonder what brought that on. Like, obviously, we don't have information. We have no idea. It totally could have been Abraham was sitting in the green room and was like, you know what? I didn't say what I needed to say. I need to go back out there. Or someone could have prompted him to do that. We don't really know. But it is very off-putting to all of them. They are all very, like, upset by it. And I totally agree. Like, Michael would have gone home if not for Abraham kind of putting his foot in his mouth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It makes me sad.
It was super uncomfortable to watch. It's also, like you said, it's not like this is who Abraham is. It's not like we have seen consistently that Abraham has been a huge diva. Like, it seems like he thought, I have to do something drastic. And because they kept telling him, like, Abraham, you just come off as kind of like a kiss up. Like, we don't want to see. I think they even say to him in this episode that they're like, we don't want to see you kiss up to Ryan. Mm-hmm. And they so do. I think in his mind, he was like, oh, well, I'm going to show them that I'm absolutely not a kiss up. I'm going to like demand what I want.
Yeah.
And he just swung too far to the other side. And he's not called back.
It's so sad.
Yeah.
Moments like that are such a gamble, you know, because mm-hmm. we've seen moments like that on this show where it's been like, oh, I saw this person's passion. This makes me excited. And then we've also seen where it's like, you know, got them sent home. And even in my life, I've been like, oh, something didn't go my way. I'm going to go somewhere and then convince them that I like have the passion for it. And it's like put me in a position I didn't want to be in. It's always such a gamble because it's like, are you advocating for yourself or are you like digging yourself into a hole? And I don't ever know which mm-hmm. one I'm doing until it's over.
Well, and I also think it's impossible to know because I think it is so case by case.
Yeah, that like absolutely.
Some people really respect that and some people are really put off by that. Mm-hmm. And it just is like, if it's the right place, the right time, you could do that. And they'll be like, oh yeah, she's going after what she wants. And then other times they're like, oh, I actually want to give this to you less because you are like, this is not your place.
Yeah.
Shoot. So wow. Abraham now, we frankly have talked about it quite a bit. He's an actor. He's doing very well.
I know. I went back and I saw who he played on The Boys. He plays Kimiko's brother. Mm-hmm. And I literally didn't recognize him at all. He is such a good actor. Oh, my God.
So he's been in, frankly, a ton of stuff. His IMDb page is very long. The biggest things he's been in where he's played like the biggest characters is he was Bobby Breyer in the Dead Girls Detective Agency. He's Kenji, who is mm-hmm. whose brother?
Kimiko's brother.
Kimiko's brother in The Boys. And he plays Ben Park, who is the reporter in Clickbait, which was that Netflix series that came out last year. So mm-hmm. what's up, Abraham? He's out there killing it.
Totally.
All right. Awesome. Well, that was Tenacity Week. Once again, just training these kids to accept any work environment and never stand up for themselves. My least favorite of all the themes. Now totally. Let's talk about romanticality.
I'll take two sexuality weeks over this.
Honestly. Now let's talk about romanticality, but first let's take a little break.
Taking a break.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Glee Project Season 2. We're talking about romanticality.
Romanticality.
Let's get into it.
Hey, Jack, give me some factoids about romanticality.
So romanticality aired on July 31st, 2012. For the homework assignment, they performed More Than Words by Extreme. The guest mentor was Darren Criss. Is this the first time Darren has mentored this season?
Sure is, but he mentored twice last season.
Okay, that's why. I was like, why are these kids so surprised to see him? I feel like he was just here. It's because he did it twice. Okay, yeah. Got it. So it's Darren Criss. The winner of the homework assignment is Blake. The music video is We Found Love by Rihanna. And I got some information about this music video.
Tell me about the information.
So the idea of this music video, very Breakfast Club. It's all these kids who are in detention at McKinley. And detention is, of course, run by the one, the only, Principal Figgins.
Classic.
Principal Figgins. Abed's dad from Community. Principal Figgins does a little like, you're in detention until this time, goodbye, and then he leaves, and then each of the kids pair off to different parts of the school, and they all flirt with each other, and they found love in the hopeless place of detention. So, Iqbal Thiba, who plays Principal Figgins, was obviously on set for this music video, filming the opening scene. He took a picture with all of the kids in the music video, and he posted it on his Instagram.
No.
On March 14th.
No.
So, like,
no.
The Glee Project had not even started airing yet.
Yeah.
It was because I guess they took the picture, on March 9th. So they were filming the Glee Project in March and he posted it on March 14th. And then the producer saw it and were like, this is a huge spoiler. So they contacted him and they were like, you have to take that picture down. That's an enormous spoiler. But to damage control it, they then contacted Maxfield from the first person voted off. They contacted Maxfield and they contacted Charlie, who went home 3 episodes ago. They brought them to set and had them take a picture with Iqbal along with Blake, with Blake wearing the same outfit that he was wearing in the first photo, so that they could be like, oh, this picture was taken on like a random day when Max and Charlie were also
smart.
Here. And then, do you remember when we were watching the first episode of the season when they're doing Here I Go Again by Whitesnake? And there is that shot where Lily is walking in the hallway and bumps into Principal Figgins. And we were like, was that Iqbal Thiba? So that was filmed after the fact. This was literally all a massive cover-up. They then filmed that 2-second shot of Lily bumping into Iqbal Thiba in the hallway, edited it into the music video from the first episode so that anyone who saw that Instagram post would assume that it was filmed during the first music video instead of this one.
Are you kidding me?
A massive
the grift of the century. Oh my God. That is so smart.
I know. Wild. So when you watch
Holy
Here
shit,
I Go Again,
that blows my mind.
Know that that one shot was filmed literally weeks later and put back into the video.
Are you kidding my ass?
That's crazy.
That is so cool. That's so smart.
Oh my God.
That is so, like, who the freak came up with that? That is so cool.
The fact that they, like, smuggled Maxfield and Charlie back onto set to take a new picture. And,
well, they weren't doing anything. They were still in quarantine, I'm sure.
Yeah, they're probably still in L.A.
Oh, my Man. God. That rocks.
Craziness.
That is so cool.
Well, that's your We Found Love massive cover-up.
Dude. Ocean's 13 who? Whoa. That's so cool. That's so cool. I can't even get over that. That's so cool. Wow. That's wild. It falls evil with the freak. I will never get over that. That's so cool.
I just think it's got major Mark Ruffalo Instagram living the beginning of Thor Ragnarok vibes.
Oh, literally, for sure. Which is
like Iqbal Thiba, like being a sweetie, having like total dad energy where he's like, look totally. At these talented
like,
kids.
He's just so excited to meet them.
Seriously, he's like, I'm going to put a picture of them on my Instagram. And the producers are like, Iqbal, that is such a huge spoiler. Now we have to do all this work to cover it up.
That rocks my freaking socks. Are you kidding? That is so cool. Oh my gosh. That's so cool. I'll never get over that. I will never. Oh my gosh. Thank you. That's maybe one of my favorite glacks you've ever given me ever. I love to sleuth. That's so cool.
So the bottom three of Romanticality is Eileen. She sings First Time Ever I Saw Your Face by Roberta Flack. Blake, who sings Losing My Religion by R.E.M. And Shanna, who sings Stronger by Kelly Clarkson. Mm-hmm. And Shanna is not called back.
Damn.
Let's get into Romanticality right off the bat. Can you believe...
No.
These kids are singing more than words for their homework assignment. Can you believe that Robert Ulrich fully tells them he lost his virginity to this song?
Do you think it's true or was he just yes and?
No, I think it's true. Based on, because Robert, so what happens for those at home is it like the guitarist for Extreme is there with them?
Yeah, and he wrote it as well.
Yeah, the guy who wrote this song is in the room with them so that he can accompany the kids while they sing it. And the guy who wrote the song, Robert Ulrich, is like, I'm so sorry, I don't know his name, but he's like, this is so-and-so who wrote the song, blah, blah, blah. This is one of my favorite songs of all time. And the dude goes, and did I hear correctly that you lost your virginity to this song? And Robert Ulrich, his response, he seems embarrassed enough that it seems genuine. Like, it seems like it's something that he said behind the scenes just to be like, isn't this a funny fact about myself?
I just said that to my friend Nikki Anders and realize how much of a bitch she was.
Didn't realize she'd freaking tell you about it and bring it up on camera in front of all these kids.
And America.
Learning some intimate details about Robert Ulrich's love life.
That's so fucking funny, too. It's a very romantic song. Good for you, Robert Ulrich. I hope it was a good experience for you.
Honestly, really, I was thinking about it, which is awful. But you can't help but think about it. When someone tells you that and then you immediately hear the song. And I was like, honestly, Robert Ulrich, this is a good pick.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
The vibes are good for this song. So
the vibes
good for
are
you.
Good. It, you know.
Yeah. I mean, more than words. What's more than words?
What's more than words? Boning. Losing your V card. That's what.
Anyways, so for the homework assignment, each of the kids has to pair off. They have to be in pairs. They have to sing to each other. So the pairs are Blake and Allie, Shanna and Michael, and Eileen and Lily are their each of their little like serenading pairs.
And they all have like their own like storyline going on. Like Shanna and Michael are just like holding hands and being cute. That's their story. Mm-hmm. And then Blake and Allie are like passing each other notes. And then Eileen and Lily are like in a fight, but they make up and they kiss.
Eileen and Lily are just like, Lily just betrayed Eileen in a tragic way and is like begging for forgiveness. Yeah. They were on a whole nother plane from the rest of the contenders.
One of my favorite moments from this episode is them sitting on the couch talking about what they want to do. Because they're all like, they've gone off in their pairs to try and figure out what they want to do. And Lily going to Eileen and just being like, do you want a kiss? And Eileen was like, yeah. And they were going to keep it secret so they could have a leg up on the competition. And I thought that was so funny.
But then Michael and Shanna fully also kiss 5 seconds before Eileen and Lily.
I know.
And I literally wrote in all caps, shoot, Michael and Shanna beat them to the kiss.
I know. I was like, I was waiting for Allie and Blake to kiss too and be like, wow, they just really didn't have any idea what anyone was doing. I honestly, Darren's there and he says that he doesn't like the, you know, them fighting and then making up. He says that like it tends to get over dramatic and it seems not very like sincere. I agree that like, you know, negative things tend to lean more dramatic, but I liked having three different couples like in mm-hmm. three different stages of their yes. relationship. And I thought that was kind of smart and cute because like we had a couple who was like kind of getting together, a couple who was actively together, and then a couple who was like getting back together. I thought that was sweet. Mm-hmm. I liked it.
I liked it a lot too.
Yeah. Who was your favorite pair?
I think Shannon and Michael.
Yeah.
I thought they were cute.
They were cute. Actually, also Allie was so cute. Holding.
I take that back. I think I'm conflating that with Lily and Michael. Mm. I actually think my favorite pair was Blake and Allie.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I think my favorite person there was Allie for sure. Mm-hmm. The way she was just so shy and so cute. I was like, oh my gosh, so cute. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure. So Blake ends up winning.
Mm-hmm. And he gets mm-hmm. to pick who his partner is, and he sticks with Allie because he liked working with Allie.
Yeah, that's what happened last time as well.
Yes, which I also
think it's a good strat.
Yeah, I think it's a very political answer because you don't offend anyone yeah. by mm-hmm. just sticking with who you were already with.
Yeah.
I honestly think that's probably what I would do too.
We have some talking. I think the same thing, literally, because I also hate making decisions. I'd be like, I'm gonna just stick with this.
Well, you can like super hurt someone's feelings.
For sure. And like we usually, like last season we had that with like, what was it? Lindsay really wanted to be with, what's his face? His name escapes me. Zayn from One Direction. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Samuel Larson? Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember that? And then we have some talking heads with Lily, and she's like, well, and I can tell that they're like prodding her with like, well, who do you have a crush on? And she's like, well, I mean, I guess I have a crush on Blake, but everyone thinks Blake is cute, so I'm not alone in that. And then she's like, she says things that to me feel very doctored. I don't know how you feel about it, where she's like, I really kind of wanted to be with Blake. I wanted to do... And I was sad that he didn't pick me.
Mm-hmm.
You yeah. know what I mean? Which maybe she was.
Well, I think it's just, you know, the producers ask if you could work mm-hmm. with anyone, who would you want to work with?
Yeah.
And then she was like, well, I, you know, if like I could work with absolutely anyone, I would have picked Blake.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is edited in a way for it to kind of feel like, and Lily is head over heels. Yeah. And I think it's more like, I think he's handsome, and he's also like clearly the mentors really love him. So like,
yeah, I it's no like Hannah and Damien. I'll tell you what,
like it is not. No.
But yeah, the pairs for the next music video end up being Blake sticks with Allie, and then Eileen is paired with Shanna, and then Michael is paired with Lily.
Yes.
And they're singing, we found love in a homeless place.
Yes. So we go to the booth, we record. This is the first time that they're doing harmony. So they bring all of the pairs in together. So it'll be like
Cheese City.
It is. So it'll be one of the pairs, one member of the pair is singing in the microphone and the other is sitting in front of them and they have to like sing to them and they will sing the melody.
I would die of embarrassment.
I know. And then they switch places and then partner B has to harmonize with the melody line.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where, as Nikki says, we find the chink in Blake's armor because Blake has no ear for harmony whatsoever.
Yeah.
To the point that Nikki Anders, who has absolutely no filter, hears him try to harmonize and goes, ooh, why?
Which, like, she's so mean. That, but also, it's like, bad. That
is
it's
soul
bad.
Crushing. No, it is. Know. It is very bad.
It frankly is some of the worst singing I have heard in this competition. Was Blake trying to harmonize? I get the sense that they are just asked to pick a harmony out that they hear, which is going to sound weird just from our angle anyway, because we're not hearing what they're hearing in their headphones. And if you're not like good at finding harmonies, like you're fucked. And Blake is fucked. He sounds so bad. It's so embarrassing. Oh my gosh. But we have this moment before where Allie is singing and Blake is in there and they're being so, frankly, pardon me, they're being gross. Like, they're like holding hands. So cheesy. And like Allie thrives in this environment. And I totally see how like that would be like kind of a fun thing and like someone to direct your energy to. I totally get that. Like sometimes you want another person in the room to like kind of bounce off of. But it is like, and then when it gets to like, it works for Allie. But then when it goes to Blake, Blake is standing and Allie is holding his hand. And he just is singing so shrilly. It's so embarrassing. Oh, it's funny. Good TV, dude. Anyway.
That's all I have to say about the recording.
I think that's all I have to say, too.
So we go to...
Did Michael get kicked out of the booth again this episode? He did last time, I think.
No, I think...
Classic?
I don't know, actually.
Michael's always getting kicked out of the booth.
Because he's an overthinker. He loves math and he overthinks. That's what he does. I do want to say, though, there's a very cute cutscene with Michael in this episode. Frankly, it was shocking because in the homework assignment, Michael kind of gets singled out by Darren, where he's a little like, you didn't seem to be like super connecting. And I was like, oh, this is not going to be Michael's week at all. And then the music video ends up being the Michael and Lily show. Like, they are frankly captivating. They're so believable. Yeah. They're so, like, absolutely, this is such a weird thing to say, but, like, emoting for the camera. Because, you know, as stage actors, you make your expressions bigger than they would be in normal life because, you know, you're playing for the cheap seats. But they are doing such subtle acting that feels like so personal and grounded and real. I was very impressed.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And I think this is a huge reason why. There's a cutscene that reveals that the night before the shoot, Lily and Michael went on a quote-unquote date together where, like, Lily made Michael dinner and then Michael like serenaded Lily with his guitar and then they like sat and talked and got to know each other. And it's very funny. The song that Michael writes for Lily. It's like, I don't remember how it goes, but it's like romanticality. I was never good at this. Maybe tomorrow we'll kiss.
It made me laugh. And Lily is like, they're a pair that I wouldn't have ever picked out, but they are so cute together. Mm-hmm. They have so much fun. And Michael just like I can only imagine this would have been like such a fun experience. And especially like to like hang out before that. So they're like more comfortable with each other and it absolutely pays off. It is so cute. And like you said, they're so good on camera together. And Michael and Zach point this out during their shoot.
Robert and Zach?
Oh.
You're good.
Boy names. I can't do it. Robert and Zach point this out. And they're like, usually Lily is so, you know, big and bold and brassy and, you know, all the things that make Lily Lily and the things that we love about her, obviously. But she like kind of goes down to Michael's level and Michael goes up a little to meet her in the middle. And so they're just like, it's so gentle. It's so cute. It's so flirty. It's so nice. They are really cute. Yeah. I really like them.
They're fantastic.
Yeah.
Blake and Allie do a good job. They're not as impressive to me as Michael and Lily, but like they do a good job.
Yeah.
Eileen and Shanna, the big issue with them is Zach gave all of the couples choreography where they like do a little like they're running together and then they do like a spin under each other's arms. But he was very much like, this is the template of what you're doing.
Yes.
But the importance is you guys having like an honest, flirtatious connection in this moment.
Yeah.
And Eileen and Shanna keep treating it as a dance first. And so it just kind of like looks like they're swing dancing and it like doesn't look as natural as the other couples.
Yeah. And it makes me sad. When they're like rehearsing together, you can tell that they're like obviously very good friends and like having a lot of fun together. Mm-hmm. And I think they just like were thinking about it too much or something. I don't know. But like they definitely like are over dancing it and you can see it. And I was like, do I actually agree? And I was watching it and I was like, oh no, I totally agree. Because I couldn't tell you any of the dance moves that the other two couples did. Because they were just like kind of using those dance moves, like you said, as a template for like their connection with each other. And those two, like Zach says something like, he's like, it looks like two girls taking a swing dance class. It's so funny. But they're, it makes me sad too, because I really like those two and I don't know. It makes me sad. But yeah, they're dancing it up.
They still do a good job though, because even Ryan Murphy says that he asks when they get to the bottom three, and the bottom three, both of them end up in the bottom, Shanna and Eileen. And then Blake also ends up in the bottom. And when they get to the bottom three, Ryan is asking Robert, Zach, and Nikki why everyone's in the bottom. And they say something about how Shanna and Eileen are both in there because they were doing the moves too dancey. And he says like, oh, I couldn't, frankly, from the music video, everyone looked like they were doing a great job. So I couldn't really tell. Sure. And, you know, we saw the behind the scenes and we saw the actual filming process. And I do agree that they were being pretty dancey with it. But, you know, they did a good enough job that they were able to edit it so that everyone looked like they were like having very good, honest interactions.
And honestly, I feel like this music video is so cute. I really like it. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about this music video and I was looking at it and I was like, I wish Sexuality Week would be a little more like this.
Yes.
You know, because I feel like that's the amount of sexuality we get on Glee when we have like sexuality on Glee. We don't have like kids grinding on each other. We have, you know, this kind of stuff. So I don't know.
We got like two kids on the bleachers having a little moment.
A little mo. Or like making out in a closet, you know?
The janitor's closet, but there's a sign that says you, me, prom.
If that ever happened to me, I'd be like, I'd turn around and leave. I'd be like, I cannot believe you want to do this right now. Bye.
In the janitor's closet. At least take you to the
bleachers. Seriously. And he like set it all up. Oh my gosh. I would love detention if it was like this, dude. It's like the Breakfast Club, but sexy.
It's a little moment to fall in love. Okay, it's, if you insist. Oh my gosh,
I'd be like, done. What do you think these kids did to get into detention?
I think Michael kept pulling a Gabriela Montez and correcting the math teacher's equations on the board. And she's like, I don't care that you're correct. You're disrespecting my authority. Detention. You do one.
Okay. I think Shanna was late to class too many times. I don't know. Is this
I think Eileen was making out with her boyfriend too much in the back of class, which is funny because she's got a secret crush on Shanna.
Yeah.
Obviously. Totally. She's just with her boyfriend for looks. For like the outward, it's compet, you know? You know it's that.
Classic ideas. Brother, I know compet. I think Blake stole the janitor's keys and won't give them back.
Yumi prom. doll. I think Allie was trying to throw a basketball behind her head and it smacked the gym teacher in the face.
No. I bet Lily got in a fight because she's a bully at the school. Oh,
because someone texted Lily Mae is a slut.
Lily Mae is a slut. So oh my gosh. I wish someone would send me a text like that. That's so funny. Have we missing anyone?
No, I think that's all of them.
I think so. That's everyone. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Shoot. Lily Mae is a slut.
Well,
anyway, this music video is very cute. I don't think so. I like it.
All right. Well, bottom three, Shanna, Eileen, Blake, obviously.
Yeah, tough bottom three for me.
Yeah. Oh, truly. Michael and Lily, as we said, were amazing. They're safe. Allie did great. She's safe. Something that bothers me about when Allie is safe is Nikki talks to Allie about how she did such a great job in the booth this week. It was so impressive. And she goes, I don't know if the magic was Blake this week. Which,
oh, I felt the same way. I was like, do not give him her credit, bitch.
Exactly. I was like, or the magic is just Allie. And like, you know, I do think what Nikki meant was, I wonder if having a physical person to sing to was helpful to you.
Yeah.
I think that's what Nikki meant. And like, I will say, I have a much, especially like love songs, I have a much easier time if I'm like in a scene singing to someone as opposed to just like singing at a wall. But the way it was worded, it rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, it rubbed me the wrong way too. I had the same reaction.
These mentors already praised Blake so much. And then they were like, oh, Allie, you did a great job. I wonder if it was because of Blake. Whatever.
Like, Allie, you're so good. Blake, you're better. Like, it like wasn't, it was a compliment for Allie, but it mostly was a compliment for Blake. Get out of here. I hated it.
Okay, so bottom three, Shanna, Eileen, Blake. At least Eileen and Shanna, maybe Blake, but at least Eileen and Shanna forget the words to their songs. They do a very good job. They continue singing. Shanna confidently just sings whatever words. Like, she's aware that she's forgetting the words, but she confidently just sings whatever comes to her head. It's
pretty cute to me.
Yeah, it's incredible. But they forget the words. It was revealed when Harper Gray, artist formerly known as Shanna, was on Gleek of the Week, our friend podcast, also pointed out to us by friend of the podcast, Emily, that they like to pretend that for the last chance performances, they always get 2 hours to prepare. But really, it's just however long until Ryan is available to come be on set.
Yeah.
And Ryan had a very busy schedule this day and had to be on set like pretty soon so that he could go leave and work on American Horror Story. So they had, Harper Gray says, about 15 to 20 minutes to learn these songs.
Wow.
And so that's why you get stuff like Eileen and Shanna messing up the words, because they barely had any time to go over these songs. Wild.
Yeah.
All right. Well, first up, we got Eileen. She's singing First Time Ever I Saw Your Face by Roberta Flack.
Yeah.
She sings the first line. It cuts to Zach. He is already on the verge of tears.
The way Zach Woodley is the best thing that has come out of the Glee Project is us knowing him.
Seriously.
He is an angel on this earth. Why isn't he on TV more? Like, I need to like see things. The way he loves these kids so much fills me with a joy, and it's so inspirational to me. Like, that's the way a mentor should like treat his mentees. You know, Nikki Anders should take a page out of his book, because what the freak? I love him. He loves them. I have this note like so many times, like, oh, Zach loves this person. Zach loves this person. He just loves them. Oh, I love him.
So sweet.
He is. I love him.
Oh my gosh.
I love him.
Also, a friend of the podcast, Nash, pointed out that he has been on TV. He has been like a dancer in a bunch of stuff. I think he was in the Hairspray movie, maybe.
Really?
You know, he just like, he's a dancer. So he's in like
Fender.
A million things dancing. Totally. But the big important one is that he's in the Buffy the Vampire Slayer episode Once More with Feeling.
I feel like I knew that. I did feel like I knew that. I think he plays like the, he does very well with Fiends from Hell, but lately we can tell he's been going through the motions.
I think he's one of the, he's one of Mr. Sweet's.
Oh, one of the dudes that dances henchman. With Dawn.
Because his IMDb just says henchman / demon.
Oh, sure.
Oh, no. You're right.
I'm always right.
He's, He's one of those two.
Yes.
He's the twisty horns one.
Yes.
Shoot.
Cool. Oh, and it looks like he's one of the minions as well. He probably was just one of the dancers.
Yeah, he probably just was on set all the time.
Well, the person who directed it was, like, he has worked on Glee before.
Oh, in Hairspray, he's one of the, he's smoking teacher is who
smoking
he is in
teacher.
Hairspray.
He's not even Fender.
Well, no, he's way too old.
You're way too old.
That's also true. He's in From Justin to Kelly. Good for him. That movie is so bad.
I love that movie.
Oh my gosh. He choreographed one of the episodes of High School Musical, the musical, the series. Zach Woodley.
He did?
He helped choreograph Grease Live. Zach Woodley.
Wait.
He choreographed the musical number in the 100th How I Met Your Mother episode. He was associate choreographer on Hairspray. That's why he's in it. Okay, that makes sense.
Cool.
Anyways, Zach Woodley, illustrious career. Back to his time on the Glee Project.
Do you triple dog dare me to make this my home screen?
Him as the singing vampire with the twisty horns?
He's like, going through the motions.
Do it.
Gosh, I love that.
So do you have any other thoughts on Eileen's performance the first time ever I saw your face?
We shared so many. Nope, she does a great job. She obviously, I think, doesn't sing any of the words correctly to the point where I don't even know what this song sounds like. But like we said, she had like 15 minutes, so I'm not mad at her. She does a great job.
Blake sings My Religion by R.E.M. Frankly, he sounds great on this song.
Well, it's a Finn song, and that's what Ryan Murphy wants, like we know.
Yeah. These three Last Chance performances are all like, you know, last week we talked about truly like the three best back-to-back Last Chance performances of all time. They're all like face melting. These were all like, it's very clear that each of these kids is very talented, but didn't have a lot of time to prepare. Because like they all are good performances, but I wasn't like, wow.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, good job. Okay. That's really good.
And this is a hard one too, because I feel like very similar about them all. Like they do all about like the same amount of good job.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me sad because I feel like they all could have gone home in this moment. And I really get upset. Never mind. Keep going. Who goes next?
Oh, no. This is what I was going to say earlier. Yeah. So we got Shanna singing Stronger by Kelly Clarkson. Just like everyone else, you can tell she's very talented. She does a good job. She forgets the words. She sells it anyway.
Yeah.
There we go. But then ultimately, Shanna is not called back. Let's talk about it.
It makes me more mad than I've been in a minute for someone to go home.
Mm-hmm.
Because Shanna consistently, like, we truly have only seen a few things from Shanna because she consistently kills it. And mm-hmm. she is a reliable performer and she is a reliable, like, competitor. And she does a great job every week. Like, she has won, like, Homer competition. She has never been in the bottom before this week. And it's like, Michael's been in the bottom how many times? And there's this moment with Ryan where he is like, oh, I heard that you're upset about you being in the bottom. And she's like, of course I am. And he's like, well, do you think someone should be in the bottom more than you? And she's like, yeah, Michael gets the same feedback every week and he should be here more than me. And Ryan's like, I like that about you. I like that you can advocate for yourself. Another moment where we never know if it's okay to advocate for yourself. Mm-hmm. But in this moment, it works out. And I agree. Frankly, Michael does a good job this week, but I get so mad that she is sent home in this moment because, like, she has done so well and it feels not fair. You know what I mean?
Yes, I agree.
And I get the sense that they sent her home, that Ryan Murphy sent her home so quickly because he was like, well, I don't know if I could write a mm-hmm. character for her. And Eileen and Blake, I can see more clearly who I could write a character for. But it's not even explained that well. So it just feels like so crazy that she's sent home so quickly. It makes me mad.
Yeah, it bothers me because I just... And this is kind of how a lot of these reality competition shows are. It's just the reality of them.
Yeah.
It's annoying to me that someone can consistently struggle when there are so many more people in the competition and they can consistently not give as strong of a performance but skate by. And then someone can be at the top of the pack every week and then there is exactly one theme that they struggle with. Shanna has never struggled up to this point. I mean, like one time she was in the bottom four. But besides that, she has never struggled up to this point. She has always been top of her game. But just because she had a hard time with this one music video, she's now in the bottom three and she's now going home. Whereas, like, frankly, I also agree with Shanna. I was like, I think Michael should be going home.
I agree.
Like, yes, Michael did a good job this week. He and Lily were the best part of that music video. But if we're looking at overall performance, I think of the six people left, he's the weakest link.
Absolutely. And there's no reason he should be staying longer than her.
Yeah.
And I think in an ideal world, I see this group of three and I'm like, well, I would send Blake home, frankly, because like he just struggled the most this week. Like he struggled so bad in the booth. And I see like the misogyny around this where they're like, oh, we got to keep him. We need a new Finn, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? I don't know. It makes me upset. Like you said, she slipped up one time and now she's going home. It makes me sad.
I do not think Shanna should go home. I don't know if I agree that Blake staying is because of misogyny.
No, sure. But he's staying because he's the new Finn of the pack.
No, I see that.
That's the character that they would have written for him.
I see that. But also, at the time and just going off of what these mentors have seen and going off of like what people have said about him, every time that they speak about like who is the strongest, who are the strongest performers, it is always Blake and Shanna. Like they have always been very clearly neck and neck. And yes, Blake struggled the most in the booth, but Shanna struggled the most in the theater, like in the music video. I think it's just a lose-lose no matter what.
Yeah.
That it was like, I think the bottom three concept is flawed in the sense that none of these three deserve to go home. But because while they have consistently been strong, they had one off week, they're now all screwed. Whereas other people who have had multiple off weeks are now immune. And it's like, what is that about?
I think the misogyny comment that I made comes from that we know Ryan Murphy wants to cast a boy more than he wants to cast a girl.
I do agree
and
with that.
Like he is very excited about the idea of casting Eileen because Eileen would be like the first Muslim girl on the show. Like he's very excited to like have that representation if that happens. But we heard the very first episode and it remains prevalent. Even the episode before this in Tenacity, he says like, well, could this person stand up to Blake? And we know that he sees Blake and his potential in this. Do you know what I mean? And that's what that comment's about. Is it misogyny purely? No. Is it him being a new Finn? Yeah. And so he's more likely to keep a boy in this situation. That's what I mean by that.
I agree that he sees Blake as his new Finn. So he's got a little soft spot for him.
Yeah. I don't know. It's really crazy. It just makes me sad. And it's like, I get so sad because I always just want to hear more from Shanna. I wanted to see more from her. I wanted to see her do more. And it feels like she was more than anyone just gone too soon, you know?
Dumb. Well, Harper Gray now, obviously Harper Gray, formerly known as Shanna, goes by Harper Gray now. She's writing country music. She's a recording artist. She's based in Nashville, Tennessee.
She has a family. She's a mother.
That is true. She has a family. She's a mother. She was featured as CM. She was featured in the CMT's Artist Discovery Program. She was featured as one of Rolling Stone's 10 Artists You Need to Know. She has an EP.
Awesome.
She has an album. She was touring before the pandemic hit, which like is such a bummer that the tour had to be canceled early. But she's incredible. She also started the Look Up Foundation, which is a foundation that uses the arts to help kids who are grieving the loss or neglect of a family member.
That's awesome.
She's great. She's also very active on TikTok. Everyone should go check her out.
Seriously, we love her.
Yeah. Well, that's Romanticality. So next week, we are wrapping up the Glee Project Season 2. Can you believe it? We are talking about episodes 10 and 11, Actability and Gleeality.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to watch them, I don't know, maybe listen to what we said at this beginning of the episode, can either confirm or deny that those details are true.
Yeah. If you want to share thoughts about these episodes that we just talked about, Tenacity and Romanticality, you can send them to recoveringgleek@gmail.com.
If you want to follow us on the social media, our Instagram and TikTok is @recoveringgleek_podcast. Our Twitter is @recoveringgleek. If you want to support our podcast, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
I wish you would.
Well,
I wish you would. I wish you would.
Love all of you. Thank you so much for being here.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe we've almost finished the Glee Project? We're almost into season 4. What a time
to
be alive.
I'm so excited to start season 4.
I am dreading finding out how to watch season 4, but we'll get there.
I really haven't thought about it.
But love all of you. Thank you so much for being here week after week, coming on this journey with us, listening to us talk about this show and then this spinoff reality show based off the first show. Thank you for being here. Have a great week.
Happy Valentine's Day a couple of days ago. Happy Super Bowl another couple of days ago. Woo! If you celebrate, I don't. Happy Valentine's Day also a couple of days ago. Love you guys. Have an awesome rest of your week. Happy February. Hope it's all going cool for you. Happy Black History Month. Oh my gosh. I hope this week is great for you. Here is a kiss on your forehead if you accept it.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok @recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
We're almost done with the Glee Project.
I know. I'm excited. I'm excited for these next couple of episodes. I saw the commercial. I saw the commercial for Actability and I went, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to talk about that. I'm not ready to. I'm not equipped.
Wait, did I forget to watch the commercial for Actability?
Oh my gosh, watch it right now.
Wait.
It's pretty scary.
Oh no. Okay. Honestly, that made me uncomfortable.
I'm not ready. I know, I'm uncomfortable.
That feels like high stakes and a lot of...
I know.
And you know, of course it's edited to be like as sensational as possible to get people to watch.
But I'm not ready to talk about it.
It felt a lot like putting kids... in very uncomfortable situations.
I agree.
Well, see you next week, everyone.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.